Welcome to the Splash Assess Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Quinley, and today we are here to recap Jet Flow is Live. For the week of May 20th to the 24th. Guys, another week passed without Megan Weaver in sight. Oh, this is awful. And I'm pretty sure she wasn't in the lineup for next week. I'm glad, I guess, that he's keeping some things private and not really talking about it. Maybe he has on the after show, whatever. But yeah, I don't know, just weeks without Weaver. I'm not loving the vibe, but that's fine. Especially because this week, you guys, what the fuck? This was a very high energy week. We had a lot of rage against the machine going on. So I guess maybe in honor of the train wreck that this week of JLL was, I just, really quick, we have to talk about this, you guys. Okay, because it's an iconic band that we've all known for across generations to come. They are actually fascinating to me. The band is Train. Train, Train, Train. Just like Kelly Dodd allegedly ran in Orange County. Just like Dr. Donna, the host seminars about. Just like Jeff Lewis took Monroe to ride the train that one time. Yes, that kind of train. So, except this one's the band. The founding member died. Sorry, womp womp, RIP, rest in peril. No, I think I'm the only evil person that, because when people like always used to write RIP, now that they don't, but without social media, I don't see it all the time, like all the comments of people. I just always love, because it's an acronym, but I'm like, that could mean anything. Like, who's saying rest in peace? What if they rest in pandemonium? Rest in pandemonium. So everybody else, like your evil teacher passed away years later at a very healthy age of 98, the ripe age of 98, they pass away. And in your local Facebook group, everybody's like, RIP, Mr. G, RIP, all that shit. And then you write RIP too, but since you secretly kind of hated them, you're really saying rest in pandemonium, but no one else has to know. All right. That's not why we're here. The train guy, the band guy. So the founding member died. And this is the crazy part. So he was house sitting for a friend in Belgium. Sure. Got to get those waffles. And in the morning, I'm making waffles. Except he never made it to the morning, because this poor chap, he fell in the shower, you guys. He fell in the shower while house sitting. So his friends found him when they returned home from their trip. That sentence alone, I have so many fucking questions, you guys. I have so many questions. He was house sitting. Were there animals present? Were there animals present? How long was the trip? Like, did he shower the second that they peeled out of the driveway, and then he slips, he falls, whatever, dies? Oh, I'm so sorry again. RIP in peace. Rest in peace, sure, for this man, because he gave us so many amazing bops to listen to. And again, the band Train is wild to me, because when I was growing up, it was like, me, Virginia, I can't wait to. And then 20 years later, they're like, 50 ways to die, I'm gonna stab you in the eye, la 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 la. They turned into Adam Levine or something. Actually, Maroon 5 did the same thing. The same thing. When I was young, they were so much more emo and I loved it. They were like, she will be loved. And now they're like, what? I don't even know. I hate Maroon 5. No, that's mean, Amy. But I don't like Adam Levine. He gives me like what they call the ick factor, cringe factor, all of the factors except the X one. I wish that he could X himself out of the equation. No. Okay, so imagine somebody's house sitting for you, and then they fall in the shower, slip, and die. And then you come home to, first, again, God forbid, I hope there wasn't animals there, because then they definitely had a few meals skipped. And also, did the house flood? Is the shower just left on, left running? I mean, I've never met a shower with an automatic stop. Have you? Of course the water is going to keep on running. Is the house just drenched now? Is it just flooded? You have to come home and be like, I think his name is Charlie Colin. God damn it, Charlie, you couldn't have turned the water off before you took your last breath? Not only did you die in our house, which I don't know if there's liability for that. Do they have to pay for the funeral now? Because that shit can get expensive. I guess Train can go on a farewell tour, farewell Charlie tour, and raise some money. But either way, it was just fascinating to me to think of somebody who's house sitting, taking a shower, falling, slipping, hitting their head, and then your friends finding you days later. Again, was the shower, it had to have been running. I have so many questions for these people, but I know those aren't the questions that you ask those that who are in grieving. Again, instead you say RIP and you hope that they mean it in a positive, loving way and not an evil little twat like me sometimes. I just wanted to share that little tidbit of news with you because I found it fascinating. But moving on to the train wreck that was JLL this week. I think this is what they call procrastinating. I'm real good at that. Okay, moving on to the Monday episode. Before I ever forget, we had Shane motherfucking Lewis in the house. Shane motherfucking Douglas, if you want to go by his government ID. But if we're going by his real ID, it's Shane motherfucking Lewis. We had Monica Casey. We had Tom motherfucking Arnold. Hey, Arnold! Move it, football head! It's on Hulu, guys. Hey, Arnold is on Hulu, so... maybe I'll get high and watch that this weekend. Oh, no, I have to go to Cape Cod. It's Memorial Day. Okay, Jeff and Monroe. He went to visit his parents last weekend, just like I will visit mine this one. And they were stuck in tons of traffic, just like I shall be stuck in tons of traffic. However, I'm so confused because Jeff was literally just raving about how easy taking the train was from LA to Orange County, how much Monroe loved it, how there were bathrooms all over the place on the train, so he didn't have to bar hop the entire drive down to Orange County since Monroe had to pee every 2 seconds like every girl does their entire fucking life. I hate when girls get pregnant and they're like, oh my God, now I have to pee all the time. I'm like, what was your life before? What was your life before? I've never known the likes of not having... but again, I'm very hydrated, so I forget that some people that you talk to, they don't drink water. They don't... my dad is one of those culprits. Growing up, he would always drink seltzer water. And I'm like, that's not the fucking same, Dad. You need to drink water. And he was like, this is water. It just got some bubbles in it. Also, I hope you know, anytime I do accents or imitations of people, which I'm sure you've picked up on by now, it could not be more opposite of what they actually sound like. That's for legal purposes and not because I just suck at imitations. Okay, it's the sincerest form of flattery, so don't expect to be flattered by me. No. Okay, so I just thought it was funny that Jeff was complaining about the traffic going to Orange County, and I'm like, then go back on the fucking train. You just said you love taking it. You love taking it. But yeah, no, sitting in traffic is so much more fun. I get it. All right, moving on to the real meal of the week. Oh God, you guys. Oh God. God be with us. Peace be with us. RIP be with us. Okay, the Grove incident of 2024. Wolf and a half. All right, so I just want to preface this by saying I'm not a parent. I'm trying to very much give Jeff grace in this situation. But yeah, that's not really the first word that I want to give him when I think of the story. I want to give him shit. I want to give him so much shit for what the fuck happened. Not even what happened. It's never really what happens. It's the way it's handled after. And that is truly what horrified me, because the way that he's handled situations in the past with Julie and Brandy and so many, Jen Green, oh my God, and even with Stu, all just so much, so many things, it made me question judgment, even if he was right, because I know he loves to be right and loves to be like, you guys, I gave you all the facts. I'm fucking right. Sure. Say you are right. Say you two things can be true. You can be right and you can still be fucking wrong for what you did, what you've done. No, really, though, like you can't take back all the shit that you've said on radio and the venom in your voice, Jeff, when these scenarios were happening, when the Heather McDonald earring gate, the Juicy Hoop scandal of 2023, like so many things, the venom in your voice, like you can hear it. You're so excited for the salaciousness of the negativity. And it's just really, it's been a little jarring, but this really like made me question judgment in a whole different way, like to the next level. So if you missed this, if you missed it, I'm sure you must have because we didn't discuss it the entire fucking week. So Jeff's nanny, Lily, ex-nanny, sorry, Lil, not sorry, actually. Okay, so Lily wanted to bring Monroe to the Grove, which is like some mall thing, I think. But Jeff said no because he doesn't feel comfortable with her driving Monroe. They've never done it before. He hasn't done the full background check, driving ID check. I don't know. Is that a thing? Driving record? Sure, one of those. And also, she doesn't have booster seats. Like, she doesn't have the proper equipment. And bottom line, Jeff said no, 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 no. So Lily did it anyways. Good old Lil. Silly Lily. Silly Lily. You didn't hear straight? Did you have a little too much earwax in that fucking ear? What the hell? Like, what? And then she told the housekeeper, and I don't mean to be I forget if it was Maria or Aurora or who, but she told them to say that her and Monroe were out on a walk instead of her illegally driving Monroe to the Grove. And then she told Monroe to keep it a secret from her dad. From her dad. You guys? You guys. Jeff was like, I was obviously upset. I was really, really angry. But, I mean, I didn't fire her. In fact, I was actually, like, joking with her, like, 5 minutes later, being like, ooh, Lily, are you going to drive off with Monroe and kidnap her again? Ooh. All right, Jeff, this is the portion of the episode you're going to want to turn off. You're going to want to turn the fuck off. The horrified doesn't even begin. And again, I'm really going to try to give Jeff a little grace, but it's so hard to do that when this is the same man who was on my TV screen for 10 years in my high school years. Like, I grew up watching him flip the fuck out on the most inexperienced like construction worker just trying to make a few bucks to feed his family and like all this stuff. But then when it comes to his child, there's no more of that like anything. Like, basically, if there was ever a time to flip out, it would have been today. It would have been this day. It would have been the day that Lily kidnapped Monroe to the Grove. Like, that's the day the music dies. That's the day the music dies. It's over. Record scratch. You're done. You fired. So then Jeff finds out through Monroe, mind you, not even Lily herself like coming clean, which I guess we find out later, this may or may not have happened. But the fact that Monroe herself is even in this situation where she's now having to snitch on Lily to Jeff, she's scared. She doesn't want to get anybody in trouble. It's too much. Like, that is, oh my God, Lily, you're no. How dare you, Lily? Lily? I should give Lily a little grace too, but I don't have that much in me. I don't have that much grace within me to spread it out to Jeff and Lily. So you're each going to barely get a sprinkle. Because, so Jeff finds out through Monroe that this is the second time, potentially, that Lily has driven Monroe after Jeff specifically told her not to. Specifically. Okay, the fact that Jeff was even debating whether or not to fire her, this is what I'm saying makes me question his judgment on a whole new level, because no matter what, at the very core of it, like, this would be the scenario where you instantly go, this is not okay. My child was put in an awful situation that she can never be put in again by somebody that I'm paying to look out for her best interest. This was absolutely not in her best interest. And the way that Jeff was defending her, I was so confused by it. I was so confused. I don't don't know if it was because his dad told him to, because he thinks father knows best. Father knows best. You want to know who wrote that show, Father Knows Best? You want to know? It was a group of fathers. A group of fathers. Why? Because they were sick of being wrong all the time. They were sick of being wrong. They were trying to change the narrative, change the whole stereotype against them. Father knows best. Father knows best. No, they fucking don't. You want to know what my father told me? Jeff Lewis. You want to know what my fucking dad told me to do? He said, if you want to be successful in podcasting, he was like, we just got to show up. We got to show up serious. You got to show up, find Jeff, find one of the people who are on his show, go to one of their shows, but you just got to show you. They got to see you. They got to see you. And once they see you in person, you can work your magic. I was like, Dad, I'm nothing but a mere muggle. I'm just a mere muggle. I have no magic. No. I was like, Dad, that's called stalking in the fifth degree. Like, if I followed my dad's advice, then he told me to fucking stalk you, basically. What the, you think I should have done that? No. Fathers don't always know best. Mine would have gotten me arrested, and so would yours. Your dad would have ended up with you getting arrested from child services because there's something wrong about Lily. There's something about Lily. Wasn't that a movie? Move over, Mary. It's Lily's turn. There's something about her, and we need to figure out what the fuck it is, because this was not okay. You guys, and for Jeff to be like, look, because Tom was like, oh my gosh, Jeff, it must be so hard for you to handle this because you have so much empathy for people. You just love them so much and want to keep giving them chances. And Jeff was like, I know, I do. I'm such an angel. I'm so empathetic. And I also, like, specifically with a nanny, the position is just so hard to find a trustworthy person. And I found one in Lily, so how can I let her go? And it's like, because she's not a trustworthy person. She's proved herself non-trustworthy with these actions. What are you talking about? Again, I'm flipping out for you. This is the energy we needed, Jeff. This is the energy we needed. Like, what in the actual fuck? This is not a drill. This is not a time to work your little, like, therapy talk and whatever. Like, this was a time to, on the spot, be like, Lily, this was unacceptable. I can't have this example for my daughter. Bye today. Not you get a chance to think about it, hear it on the radio, hear Shane rip you to shreds as he kind of should. Like, I mean I agree, Shane was the sane Shane in the corner over there trying to balance out the fucking insane shit coming out of Jeff's mouth, and again trying to mask it under like, oh, but she's such a good person. It's like, okay. Sure, as Jeff said, we all make mistakes. And he was even quick to... Also, can you imagine if they didn't fire Lily and then she didn't put in her 2 weeks and then Shane just had to keep on working with her at Chateau Lewis? See her in the hallways after he was like, burn her at the stake. No, he did not say that. He was just putting out very valid points. And Jeff tried to fire back at Shane and be like, yo, you've made a ton of mistakes this past week, so I would pipe down over there, peanut gallery, if I were you. But as Shane pointed out, sure, he might have forgotten something to do something or like accidentally missed something at work, but those are unintentional actions that he didn't mean to. It was just a mistake. Being given specific instructions about what to do with somebody's child when you're in charge of their child's care, and to blatantly ignore it and then tell your child to then lie to, that is the most intentional thing you can do. Like, that's intentionally harming your child. Maybe not physically, but the emotional well-being. Like, to then have the lies and then to have Jeff have to sit Monroe down and be like, was there any other time that she drove you? And Monroe's like, I think to CVS one time to get goggles. And then Jeff's like, Lily, did you do that? And Lily's like, no, I definitely didn't. So now Jeff has to go back to Monroe and be like, did you lie about that? And now it's like, oh my god, like, for this poor girl, she shouldn't have to go through that at all. And shame on Lily. If you are an adult and you are telling a child to lie to their parents about something so serious, to me, driving in a car with no boosters, like, that is such a huge offense. Like, that is not okay. Unless you're, it's like, I'm picturing now kids in Georgia and like a farm on like the back of a dirt road on a pickup truck or whatever. There's certain scenarios where things are fine. Or if somebody gives an extra cookie, like grandpa gives her an extra cookie and winks at her and is like, don't tell your dad. Like, there's exceptions to the rule, but we all fucking get it at this point. Like, if you're driving with a child in the car, and sure, you didn't physically harm her this time, but what if, God forbid, you got into an accident? Oh my, I can't, like, again, for Jeff to have not gotten this riled up, for him to have not immediately fired Lily, this is what I have always, like, somewhat still had my foot in the door with Jeff and his brain, and I'm like, I can kind of get it. I don't get this. I do not get this. This, I'm horrified all around. And furthermore, if you have custody issues, why would you go on radio and tell everybody that you told your nanny not to drive your child, but she drove your child anyways without proper child equipment, and not once, but maybe twice, and like you still were thinking about having this lady around your child? Like, that doesn't seem like good. That doesn't seem like sound judgment in a court of law, you know? So I would just be careful. I told you, Jeff, you might not want to listen to that part. Oh, also, Tom Arnold, you might not want to fucking listen to this part. I want to throw a football at your head. Hey, Arnold. He goes, so after hearing how Lily basically disobeyed Jeff's very specific instructions about how to care for his child, Tom Arnold goes, yeah, have you ever wondered what it's like to be married to a bitter bitch? Or an angry woman? Now you know. Now it's like that. It's like being married to a Lily. To a Lily. I was like, ew, Tom. Ew. Ew. You're a bitter bitch, bitch. No, even if you are married, it was just like gross. Like, I don't, there can be bitter assholes. There's so many guys that play mind games and lie with their kid, with whatever, too. So, whatever, Tom, actually the angry woman, that would be hilarious. Wait, isn't the bar that all the OC people are obsessed with called the Quiet Woman? It would be so fucking funny to open a bar right down the street called the Angry Woman. All you quiet women can go over there. The angry bitches, we're all gonna gather here. So Tom, send your ex-wives, I guess, according to you. Moving on to the Tuesday episode, we had Dr. Duana Dan and Fowler and Justin Martindale, hopping down his Martin trail, sucking all them furry dicks, sucking really, really quick. Sorry, Justin. Sorry. Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'm really such a lady. I rep Young Money. I know Slim Shady. Okay. So Jeff Lewis has dinner plans the next night with Shannon Bedua. Shannon Bedua, that little snore. I was trying to come up with a nicer word than whore, but snore's not. I think I'd rather go with whore if it was me. And Glam by Pam was supposed to attend the dinner. Just the three of them. Just the three of us. But then the invites kept on growing. Shannon Bedua basically turned into the scene from The Grinch with Jim Carrey when he's trying to sort the mail and he's like, jury duty, blackmail, meow, meow. And Shannon was like, you get an invite. I guess it was a little more Oprah-esque. So she was trying to invite Sophie, her boyfriend, Doug Buden, his boyfriend. Oh, no, wait. No. Doug, I'm single. I love being single. We love it together, right? We love going to bed early and eating in bed. It's great. It's a great life. So anyways, Jeff had to set boundaries and I'm so glad that he can set some boundaries in life, but sure, Lily, you can stay on payroll. You can stay on payroll, you little liar, pants on fire. Okay. So, and look, it's not that we've all made mistakes, okay? So for Lily, here's your grace, I guess, Miss Lily Grace. Here's your grace. Sure, we've all made mistakes. But no, now your grace is taken back. And even with Jeff, like, sure, you can try to give people other chances. But at this point in both of your guys' life, this mistake shouldn't have happened. Lily should have never taken Monroe, driven with her after her dad says, do not do this. And Jeff should not have hesitated to fire her right away. Like, it's just game over. Okay, so anyways, so Jeff, he would have normally been like, sure, Shannon, you can bring all your extras, all the extras. But I kind of wanted to like do a pre-show interview, and now it's just going to turn into like a $3,000 dinner. I have to pay for all these people, blah, blah, blah. He's going to have to book one $10,000 dinner for every three times he goes out with his friends, basically. But as Justin said, you have an option. Like, take him to a buffet. Take him to a nice little Chinatown buffet. Like, who says it has to be Craig's that you're going out to? And I agree. Like, even to Chili's or Applebee's, you know, where try to get a commercial where Shane and Jeff are making martinis, just like Sheena and Katie Maloney did for Vanderpump Rules. They did, like, a collab with Chili's or something. Sure, we can do that. Because I feel like it's the same with the dollar store. Like, rich people love going to low-budget restaurants every now and then. Every now and then. I'm sure in their regular life, Shannon, Sophie, Doug, they all go to very bougie restaurants all the time. So it's, like, fun. It's, like, cute for them to go to a regular person's place. Except all the, like, chain restaurants are shutting down anyways because, as the Cracker Barrel CEO said, we just ain't relevant no mo'. Nobody gives a fuck about us no mo'. No mo'. Can't believe they ever did. No, so my second question for Jeff, like, first, I agree. Just if they want to add a bunch of people, would they still have gone if you went to Chili's instead and got, like, $5 margs? It could be a great time. Because for Jeff to frame it as, I wanted to do a pre-show interview, blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm not saying he didn't want to, whatever, but remember back in COVID time specifically, because that's when I really started listening to Jeff regularly. That's why it, like, shocks me that Gage was ever a co-host. What do you mean? What do you mean? I can't even imagine what that was like. I'm sure I could listen back, but I don't feel like it. I just would rather let the mind wander on that one. But so they always used to go out for, like, all the friends, all the core chumps. They would go out for drinks. They'd go out for dinners, whatever. But I remember as time went on, like, Jeff was kind of getting just sick of, like, always having to pay for it. And it seems like no one ever really, like, snagged the bill for him, which seems really odd to me, because even if it's, like, your richest friend, you still every now and then just gotta go to the bathroom during the meal and take one for the team. Like, you drop your card with the waiter and be a gentlewoman. Be a gentlewoman or a gentle heathen, a gentleman, whatever the synonyms. So you just don't want anybody to feel like you're taking advantage of them. And I think it's when somebody's very generous with their money, it's very easy for them to eventually get to that point where they do feel like they have been taken advantage of. So to mitigate that, why don't just sporadically throughout hanging out with them, you just pick up the bill sometimes. And so for Jeff to assume that if Shannon invites Sophie and her boyfriend and Doug, her co-star in their Dos Amigas-y Doug tour, why would Jeff assume that he has to pick up the bill? To me, that sounds like Shannon's dinner. Shannon's hosting this dinner, so she would have paid. And if she would have paid, then what's the big deal if a bunch of people go? Because, again, for Jeff to be like, I wanted a pre-show radio interview, whatever. Like, okay, but also we loved the content back in the day of, like, hearing the recaps of all these big dinners and big lunch, big everything. Like, the more the merrier. The more the merrier, the more the content, okay? The merrier the content. So I just feel like at the core of it all, he's starting to feel again maybe a little taken advantage of, and now it's coming up. So all I'm saying is, Shannon, when Jeff was like, I really would just want to do the three of us for, like, drinks first. Like, I just need to talk to you and pay for you and Pam. Just Shannon could have been like, sure. But, like, also dinner's my treat. So can I bring my daughter? Can I bring my daughter? Get her some water with her daughter? Okay, so then on JLL, they gave Justin Martindale his flowers. His flowers, as the young kids would say. Which is weird, because usually in your youth, you're, like, trying to deflower people, but now you want to reflower them, or reflowering everybody. Born again, I guess. No, so they were showering him with compliments, and Justin was like, thank you, thank you. I'm really just so happy to, like, be in a place where I can have work, but also find friendships with people I work with. Like, it's just so nice to be able to let my guard down and find this balance. And Jeff Lewis, I am so happy that we are in that place. We are business and friends. We found the perfect balance. yeah, don't get comfy in that space, Justin. Don't get too comfy. Don't bring your stuff there. Just ask all the other people who have worked with Jeff and thought that they were best friends or at least good friends with him until one day things randomly, horribly go wrong and then he annihilated their reputation on live air. But yeah, no, I mean, just you can talk to like Jenny Poulos, Heather, Julie, Brandy, Jen Green, Andrew Freund, just because Jeff had to throw in a guy every now and then so that everyone's like, not just like, oh, you only do it to females. You only annihilate girls' reputations. He'll toss in a guy. So, and he's kind of at that point now. He needs another Andrew Freund. So careful, Justin. Be careful of me. That should be Jeff's new theme song. Not that he needs one. Petty ass bitch works. It works. But Cardi B also does. Okay, so then Dr. Donna, wait, this was hilarious. As they were flowering Justin, reflowering him, because I guess the night before, Justin was talking about how he would kind of like to be more successful. And Jeff is like, yeah, but what is success to you? Because to me, you are very successful. And like, just be grateful for the moment that you're in. And Dr. Donna was continuing that sentiment on the show. And she was like, look, Justin, you're exactly where you need to be in life, okay? You're exactly where you're supposed to be. There's nothing wrong with you, okay? There's nothing wrong with you. There is nothing wrong with you. There's also just nothing that special that you've gotten to a point of achieving your wildest dreams, but there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong. You're just not a standout. You're just not. I'm kidding. I'm obviously kidding. She didn't say that. That is not true. Justin is totally a standout. Where I see him thriving, and that's the thing, especially with these entertainment careers, you never know what it's going to be that will catapult you into the success that I guess you dream of. So for Justin, I could just really see him thriving on a sitcom. Like, I just see him thriving on a sitcom. So somebody make that happen, because there's plenty of shitcoms out there right now. Okay, so then on JLL, Oscar asked for dating advice. And this leads them into talking about how powerful women need to learn how to soften up. Just soften up. Keep sweet, pray, and obey. Right, ladies? Am I right? Wrong. No, but we need to respect a man's role in opening the door for us and paying for dinner and paying for everything. Thing, just like Polly does to Dolores, and how we should all strive for that. Okay, I get that that's an older generation's way of thinking, but also we've always heard that women need to make their own money because, God forbid, you're stuck reliant on your husband's money or your boyfriend or your partner, whatever, their finances. So then girls try to get jobs so that they can be independent as well. But then even in the workplace, we can't be real leaders without getting shit on 20 times worse than all the guys out there. And so then when you finally are dating somebody, then you're supposed to like remember to like soften up and be sweet. Like, but then if he's paying for everything, if the guy's paying for everything, which I don't disagree with, but also then he thinks he gets the final say. Like, guys, to them, money is power. Power, money, power, pussy, all equal to each other. So if you have one, you have the other. And so I guess it's just the balance. It's the balance of being somewhat soft and letting them pay, but having your own money. It's just exhausting to be a girl nowadays. It's just exhausting. I don't know the solution, but I'm exhausted even just listening. Okay, so then Jeff talks about how he used to, this was so funny. He talks about how he gets so many more guys now that he's older than when he did when he was hot in his 20s. And he's so confused. Like, he literally was running through reasons why he might now be attracting more men. And he's like, is it a maturity thing? Is it a confidence thing? Is it an energy thing? What could it be? What could it be? What the fuck do you mean? What could it be? What the fuck do you mean, bro? You're 20 and hot? Great, great. Were you also rich and famous? Were you also rich and famous? Because that's what you are now, bro. That's what you're missing in this equation. Rich and famous beats out any attractive. Like, what are you talking about? Of course more people are going to go for you. Of course more people are going to be attracted to you. What are you talking about? They can see the Benjamins written all over your Armani suits, all over your Gucci scents. Rolling off all over your Range Rover keys that you gave the valet. We see, like, everybody see, you know, it's the money that attracts people in Los Angeles and far, far beyond, to infinity and beyond, if you will, to quote our good friend Buzz. Okay, so I wish I had Buzz. But I don't. Okay, so then we talk about narcissists, and Jeff brings up how he learned on TikTok that narcissists believe their own lies. Like, they tell it so much that they've convinced themselves that their reality is true. And he's like, even if I have direct proof, direct evidence to show that they are lying, they will still find a way on their own public platform to find a way to be right and keep on lying. And I'm like, who the fuck are you talking about, bro? Who the fuck are you talking? Stop talking in riddles. Either talk shit or don't. Like, is it Heather McDonald? Is it Stuart O'Queef? Stuart O'Queef. Sorry. That's I'm sorry, Stuart O'Queef. Everyone loves a good queef. But it's just so passive aggressive and annoying for Jeff to always, he's done it like many times where he's like, people, I try to tell them the full story and then they still have a question or two. It's so annoying. Just listen to me. I'm telling the truth and everybody else is lying. And it's like, what are they lying about? Then what are they lying? Like, you can't have it both ways. And he mentioned this before where sometimes if he doesn't tell us things, like, he's not talking about his thing with Megan Weaver right now. What's going on with that? Does she just never want to do radio again? Does she just want to take a little break? Like, what is happening? Even just a minimal update, just something. But we get no acknowledgement of that. So why was I talking about Megan again? I don't know. I'm just annoyed at everything because Jeff, he got me so riled up. I wish that he had been more riled up about Lily. But you gotta have grace. Okay, moving on to the Wednesday episode. We had Shannon Bedore, that little snore, and Glam by Pam. Motherfucker, whoop, whoop, whoop. Everybody grab that can of Spam and grab your little Glam by Pam. Dun, 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 dun. I feel like that's like my seventh inning stretch. I just gotta wild out for a minute. Okay, so we learned that allegedly, according to Shannon Bedore, Newport County, California has no bus system. There are zero buses traveling in the Newport County area. I can't imagine that to be true. Isn't that like illegal? Don't states need to care about getting people places? Probably not. But Shannon was only worried about the bus schedule because she doesn't like driving now that she has a breathalyzer attached to her car. And Jeff was like, just have your daughters blow for you. Just have them blow for you. But Shannon was like, That's illegal. That is not my plate. I'm a rule follower, Jeffrey. The irony of Shannon Bedore yelling at Jeff for suggesting the breath, for doing something illegal and saying that she's a rule follower. It's like, okay, sure. Again, back to grace. I guess two things can be true, okay? You can want to follow rules and not do illegal things. And then you can also, I don't know, chug too many martinis, get behind the wheel, smash up your local neighborhood flower pots. Does that ring a bell to anyone? Okay, so Shannon is working at the church thrift shop. Well, I mean, by working, it's court-ordered volunteer work. But basically, the high-end items that are donated, they go into the $25 and up boutique. Because what Orange County, California church doesn't have a high-end section in their thrift shop in their fucking church? Like, it's your church. Can't everything be $3? Because the rest of it is $3. If it's a step above trash, then it's $3. But if it's real nice, then it's in the flashy boutique. Why can't everything just be $3? Come on, people. It's a thrift shop. Like, let's just let's just chill. But the, I guess the church, they need to make money somehow, right? So then there's this whole redo pile, the redonations, and everyone in the studio was like, what? What's a redo pile? What do they do with those clothes? What kind of landfill do those end up in? How? You know what? The producers of Jeff Lewis Live, this is when you're going to want to cut. This is when you're going to want to bounce for a minute, because actually maybe the rest of the episode, because I'm fucking livid at producer Sam, but we're going to get to that on Friday. So everyone in the studio, how did nobody, including the producers, like, this is what your life at JLL produces. That's what you do. That's what you do. So how did nobody think to bring up Sutton Strack's store that has her green Echo label? That is literally what she educates us on every single fucking time she comes and she talks about her green label, everybody green label. That is what she does. It's the redo. It's all the clothes that are redonated, that are scraps, that are like thrown away. Right? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe maybe I misunderstood Sutton every single fucking time she's tried to explain it. But really, that's what all I could think. I was like, that's what Sutton's label is. The redo pile. Okay. And also to the producers, why the fuck when you went to break did you not play Thrift Shop by Macklemore? Talk about missed opportunities. What the fuck? But shit, it was 99 cents. Boom, 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 boom. Okay, so then we find out Lily gave her 2 weeks' notice after the Grove incident of 2024, which we barely mentioned this whole episode. Again, I think the reason that I'm so like horrified by it all, especially, is because of who Jeff was with the flipping out persona. And then I get that now, especially in his elders, like I said, he's trying to calm down and he's trying to like rebrand in his Hollywood Houselift era, and it's very HGTV ish and very boring. Oh, sorry. Oh my God. Did I just say that? Oh, that's so rude. Oh, that was rude. But really, I mean, that's the consequence. If you want to be peaceful, then it's going to be more boring. So this is what it is. But so for, and this is one scenario where if there was ever a time to flip out, you would have get, and not to say like scream at Lily or anything. I'm just saying you should have felt the rage and should have fired her on the spot. Maybe, I guess shoulda, woulda, coulda. So you live, you learn. Okay. But Shannon, when Jeff gave us this update, she was like, good. She should have quit. She's a fraud. She deserves to be arrested. Arrest her. I still have my old handcuffs from a few months ago if you need them. Oh, I'm so sorry, Shannon. Again, as one of the, somebody called in later and was like, look, I've been in so many situations, Shannon, where I could have been you and I could have accidentally been the one to get a DUI. So none of us are judging. And I agree with her. I very much could have been in that situation to the point where I've actually had a cop pull my friend over while I'm in the car with her. He gives her a field sobriety test. She fails. He has me drive instead. He knew that we were, I was out with her too, sir. And he's like, yeah, but you're fine. And I was like, I know, but what if the next cop pulls me over? I still like, I had a drink or two or three. I don't know. So we've all been in situations, I'm saying. So, but we are still going to roast ya. We're still going to roast ya. That's the point of life. When we all have our shit, we get roasted. So we roast the next person. Okay, moving on to the Thursday episode. We had tink, 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 Tinkalodeon. And Joey Zazu! We start by talking about animal abuse, you guys. This was straight up animal abuse. In fact, Tinks was giving advice on how to abuse animals. And before anybody gets their knickers in a twist, I'm being dramatic. Not really, though, because Tink's life hack to survive having cats, you guys, to survive having cats is to wake them up, shake them anytime you catch them sleeping during daylight hours so that they will eventually sleep during the night and not wake you up. And then Jeff co-signed it? what are you guys talking about? What are you talking about? Like, this made me, you want to know what this made me think? You're going to die. This made me think, should I have kids? I think I should have kids. This is how elitist I am, because I was like, yikes, like, you guys seem like bad cat parents. I see it. My boys are so perfect that, like, if that's how you guys raise your aunt, I should level up and see what I can do with a couple kids. No, I'm sure I would pass on plenty of generational trauma, like we all do. So anyways, can I just say, don't do that? Don't listen to Tinks on that one. Like, how bad are your cats at night? What do you, what? Again, maybe mine are just perfect. I shouldn't judge others because mine are so perfect. Okay, moving on to the Friday episode. We had Crystal Kung Mink off. You better take that mink off, baby, because it's summertime now. We don't need no minks on. Mink off. Mink off. Take it all off, baby. Okay, so we start with Real Housewives of Beverly Hills update. Crystal is not returning. She's okay with it because she wants to be protective of her family and her kids. And being on the show, it can be a little tough, a little rough to see the cuts that they make and the edits and the comments that the quote-unquote fans make, because I think fans and haters are one and the same nowadays. So, as if I'm not proof of that enough, like, I'm literally the epitome of a fan and a hater being one and the same. Love you, Jeff. Still very worried sometimes. And he seems a little this week was a little manic. Like, there's a manic anxiety energy going on that he was really getting around the time when he would go to court with Gage. But I know that that's not a thing right now. So, there's something. Again, and I don't know if it's the friendships going on behind the scenes and dynamics and maybe freaking out because of the SiriusXM contract that he can't wait to re-sign. Okay, so, but all I want to say about Crystal and her family on Real Housewives, I've heard so many times about people complaining about Crystal's storyline and how it focuses on her brother and, oh my God, stop showing the brother. And I'm like, I love the brother. I love her brother. I think he's great. I love the dynamic. I love seeing how sibling dynamics in their adult years have played out and how Crystal has regrets on some things and how her and her mom really still baby him and, like, are all over him and his decisions. Cause I feel like that's what my family does to me. And, like, they're all over. And it's like, let me fly and learn that I have no wings to spread and I'm just going to fall and smash to the ground. Okay. Let me fail and flail on my own. So I just never understood why people hated on that so much. Like, if you're going to hate on that storyline being boring, hate on the entire show. The whole shit, it's boring. It is boring. It's boring. It's all, again, they're all so self-produced. The cast members at this time are also self-produced, that you can see it in their head, the way they're, like, thinking and holding out and, like, waiting to have a conversation until this person walks up to the bar. It's so fun to watch nowadays. Okay, so then Jeff asks Crystal about his new favorite obsession, his new topic that he can't stop talking about, which is security systems, house security systems. He's literally asked every single fucking guest that was on this week. And I'm sure by next week he'll have a new question to ask, because hopefully Tinks yells at him after this. So Tinks on air yesterday, because again, Jeff asked every single person, Tinks was saying, look, I have a ton of security shit, but I'm not going to say everything because I don't want the robbers who are listening to strategize and learn what I do have and what I don't have and then find out new ways to get into my house. Like, I don't want that shit. So I'll tell you everything offline. And Jeff was like, what? Why? Why can't you just tell me everything now? Like, Jeff, for the millionth time, you don't tell us everything about your fucking life. If we ask you any single question, like, where's Megan Weaver? Why isn't anybody asked where the fuck Megan Weaver is? Where in the world is Weaver? That's the new segment on NBC that I want to see. Did they do that? Like, where in the world is Matt Lauer for a while? Oh, where in the world is Matt Lauer? Should be in jail. Should be. No, I'm allegedly and not. But he was just creep jail. Jail for creeps. But so Tinks clearly told Jeff off air yesterday. And then today, Jeff reveals all of the things that Tink specifically told him not to reveal, which is literally, when you think about it, the exact same thing that the nanny did to him. He specifically told the nanny not to do it, and she did it anyways. Tink specifically told Jeff not to do this, and he did it anyways. So if Tinks wanted to talk about it on the air, she would have yesterday. She didn't want it brought up, and Jeff brought it up anyways today. So he is literally the same as Lily. That is why he wasn't going to fire her, because he has the same morals as her. He's the exact same person. It's just different levels of what they're doing, but it's the same thing. Somebody tells you something, you say okay, and then you do whatever the fuck you want anyways for your own benefit, because you think you know better. You think you want to share this tidbit. He thinks he's enlightening the world, but guess what? We all don't live in Los Angeles, California, where the robbery rate is out of fucking control. The fact that you guys are all talking about, like, glass-proofing your windows and making sure you have armed security troops marching down your driveway and make sure you have a panic button, walkie-talkies, light bulbs, lightsabers, just, like, underground bunker. Like, it's just insane what the fuck you guys have to do out there. When I hear everybody talking about their security systems in LA, I'm like, why don't you just move? Why don't you move? You know that the entire country is not like that. It is not like that everywhere. There is still hometown morals and values in some places. So I'm surprised nobody's built like a stadium bubble over their house yet in LA, because they have the money. That's the kind of shit I would expect. Like, literally a plastic plexiglass, obviously bulletproof, anything proof, that just every single night you press a button and like an atrium or something. Is that even the right word? I don't know. I was trying to be smart. But like with stars, it's just like a whole clear cage just like comes over your entire property. I don't know. Why the fuck not at this point? Okay, so then we get to the craziest part of this entire week. And that's saying a lot, okay? That's saying a lot. And I'm coming for you. This is the time, Sam. This is the time, producer Sam. I'd fucking run if I were you, bitch. I'm kidding. See, Sour Patch Syndrome. First they're sour, then they're sweet. Maybe. But Jeff was like, to Crystal out of nowhere, he goes, oh my god, Crystal, my producer Sam just had the most brilliant idea ever. He wants to introduce this new segment on JLL. It's called Am I the Asshole? What? No. What the actual fuck, Sam? Are you the asshole? Yeah, you are the asshole, Sam. You are the fucking asshole, because you know that Splash of Sass last week, our entire theme, that's what we played the entire fucking week last week, or Am I the Asshole? That was all I played my entire episode last week. And now, this week, all of a sudden, a JLL producer magically comes up with, hey, what if we do an Am I the Asshole segment? But say, just by the grace of God, we'll give Sam the last shrivel of grace I have left in my goddamn motherfucking body. So Am I the Asshole is a popular segment that it's a Reddit thread. And so there's so many articles about it. That's how I know. I read the top threads, whatever. Except I stopped reading it because it's so dumb. Because whenever they ask, Am I the Asshole? It's usually so clear who the asshole is in the equation. Not to Jeff, because in this episode, they ended up reading out a couple of scenarios that people posted. So here's the thing, Sam. To introduce this segment on JLL, but not even have original scenarios for all the producers in the room, aren't there? There's Sam, there's Oscar, there's Shane. Aren't you technically maybe a producer? Jameson? I don't know where the fuck Alyssa, if she ever floats in or out any now and then, whenever. All I'm saying is the fact that there was no original scenarios and you just read some random bitch's problems off of Reddit, that's what Jeff Lewis has come to? I know I said that we were jumping the shark with Oscar chasing a Hollister employee around the mall, giving him a little check note, like, will you go out with me? Check yes or check no. You know, like, that was jumping the shark to me, but I would rather that. I would rather that than hear this unoriginal bullshit. Why are we having Am I the Asshole, but then reading real scenarios that were posted on Reddit? Who gives a fuck? They were like, some lady only brought veggie pizza to a kid's party. Is she the asshole? Whatever. The kids have food. Who gives a fuck? That's so weird. Like, if there was a relevant scenario or a funny original scenario that happened in the JLL world, I get them introducing this segment. But to just have it and just read random, like, where's the originality? Listen back to Splash Assess last week, bitch. At least in my episode, I was coming up with quick scenarios on the top of my, that was just naturally, am I the asshole? Because I experienced so much natural shit all the time. I didn't even tell you that on the plane, while I was watching Rugged, Real Housewives Ultimate Girl Trip, the lady next to me was sobbing the entire flight. You want to know why? She told me in the very beginning, and guess what? We can play Am I the Asshole with, guess what, producer Sam, an original fucking idea, an original scenario that actually happened in my own life that I would actually want to know, am I the asshole? Because when she first sat down, she told me that she was flying home. It's not funny, you guys. It's not funny. She was flying home because it's only funny because why am I in these scenarios? She was flying home because her ex-husband got hit by a truck and died. R.I.P. to him. Oh my fucking God. It's not funny, but it's just like, can you imagine you get onto a plane, you're so hungover, you just had this whole trip, whatever, and then the lady next to you is sobbing because her ex-husband got hit by a truck and died. I'm like, lady, I got hit by a truck too, metaphorically. I'm dead right now. Oh my God. And so I didn't ask her any questions. I just like disengaged, which is not normally me. This is the new me, is just not engaging. And so, am I the asshole for not like giving more condolences or like not like giving her a tissue to cry, a shoulder to cry on? I'm pretty sure I actually like turned my, I gave her the cold shoulder, if anything. So yeah, you can decide, am I the asshole? Well, I sit here and think how Sam is the asshole for not that you're stealing my segment. What, again, everyone does this, does it, but it's just, what are the chances that in my entire theme last week was about that? And then suddenly genius fucking Sam getting the big bucks over there. Hey, why don't we read these lame ass Reddit threads? What the fuck? Call me up, Jeff. I'll come up with original shit for you. Okay, we'll be back next week with another recap. Maybe next week will be more peaceful after we all have a nice holiday weekend to rest in peace. Okay, I love you guys so much. I love you forever. I love you. Bye.
Splash, splash, play. Splash your sails. Splash your sails.